You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The impact of deer on Aotearoa New Zealand's natural environment is a situation that remains critical. Most recently, the Southland Conservation Board highlighted the damage that the introduced species was doing to native forest on Rekuria, Stewart Island, and despite the government including $30 million New Zealand dollars for deer and goat control in this year's budget, the issue involves considerable disagreement about the best solutions, as well as the idea of moa having a similar ecological impact. Joe speaks to Dr. Nick Rawlins from the Paleogenetics Lab at the University of Otago on this matter.
So deer were introduced to New Zealand from England in the late 1800s as a way that people and hunters would collect food, and you didn't have to be landed gentry or very rich to go hunting. But very soon after that, conservationists were realising they were actually having a huge impact. So deer are quite large animals. They've got teeth. They've got a prehensile tongue that can pull plants into the mouth, pull out whole plants out of the ground and shred them. And they will eat their favourite food pretty much into extinction. So you have these plants that deer have eaten that are now only surviving in areas completely inaccessible to deer, like on the vertical sides of tomos, like vertical shafts and limestone going into cave systems. But there's a whole lot of other impacts they have. Their weight's all through four small hooves, so they trample the ground, much like you would look at a rugby pitch after an All Blacks versus Australia match. Is completely trampled. And they will eat the forest understory bare, so all the plants that are grown in the below the canopy in the forest. So if you go into a deer-infested forest, the bark's stripped off the trees, there's no seedlings, invariably there's no leaf litter or moss, because deer have got their ruminant stomachs like a cow, that they can extract nutrients from all of these fairly unpalatable sources. But they're a fairly a boom-bust species as well. They reach sexual maturity within 2 years. They can have offspring really quickly. And so that's what's happening down on Rekuria Stewart Island, where their numbers are exploding and they're beginning to decimate and eat out the native forest there.
You've also outlined how some hunters and anti-1080 pesticide activists are vehemently opposed to large-scale deer culling. On top of this, you know, central to this, to some of their arguments, there's been the idea that deer are actually ecological surrogates for extinct moa.
So when it became clear that conservationists were concerned about the impacts deer were having, there were moves to basically start controlling deer and start eradicating, and the hunters didn't want that, and the anti-1080 activists, which a lot of them are hunters as well, came up with a really oversimplistic theory that basically said that moa were in New Zealand, that they were controlling the forest and keeping it really open. Now, we know that's not the case. We know from the study of moa coprolites, or desiccated feces, and looking at their diet, that there was a really rich understory in the forest, not an open one you see like in deer-infested forests now. So these hunters and anti-1080 activists came up with this theory that moa controlled the forest, they went extinct, the forest ran amok and became choked and clogged, and you couldn't move through them to hunt easily, and that deer were put back into the forests and were an ecological surrogate by creating open forests again. Now, the only thing deer and moa have in common is that they're herbivores, and that's about it. It's like saying the only thing whiskey and beer have in common is it's alcohol. They're two completely different things. And so they've been pushing this idea, the hunters and anti-1080 activists, really strongly since the 80s, and it will keep coming up again and again and again. Like, I've just found there's an article in the New Zealand Hunter magazine from February, March this year that are still pushing the theory that deer replaced moa.
Now, it's also mentioned here that there's a lot of recent evidence which shows unequivocally deer are nothing like moa.
Yeah.
And it also outlines their different ecological impacts. Could you tell me a bit about this, as well as how this relates to climate change? Because I do believe deer's affect climate change?
So if we think of the extinct moa, their ancestors arrived 58 million years ago into New Zealand, and they only arrived a couple of hundred years ago. So you've had 58 million years of co-evolution of moa and plants. So moa were very in tune with their environment. They had bills. The moa all ecologically segregated, and so they would... they could snip at leaves and twigs, and the plants had 58 million years to evolve defences against moa browsing, which they don't have against deer browsing. So moa and deer feed in very different ways, but also, whereas talking about deer have four tiny hooves, moa, for their body size, have big feet with splayed toes to basically spread their weight to have a minimal impact on the forest floor. Moa are also what we call case selected. They're really slow breeding. They'll take about 9 years to reach adult body size, a few more years to reach sexual maturity, and this compares with deer reaching sexual maturity within 2 years. So deer are moa are very slow breeding, deer are very boom bust. But with climate change is that as deer strip away all the bark from all the trees and eat all the leaf litter and that, is it kills all the trees, and as the trees rot, they start releasing carbon, and when into the atmosphere, which contributes, so it starts releasing carbon dioxide, which contributes to global warming. But if they're eating all the seedlings as well in the forest, it's actually stopping the forest being a carbon sink that starts trapping carbon dioxide, which is what we want to alleviate climate change. Instead, the forests become carbon sources, releasing lots of carbon dioxide. And with deer eating all of the moss and the leaf litter and all the seedlings, is it's basically stripping all the nutrients out of all of the forest. Now, our forests have got a big problem anyway, because before the arrival of humans in New Zealand, a lot of nutrients came into the forests from seabirds, which would have been nesting all through the forests and the mountains of New Zealand. And we don't have that many seabirds nesting in the forests now. So deer are really stripping out all the nutrients, stopping forests being climate resilient and turning them from carbon sinks that would trap carbon into carbon sources.
Moving on to how we solve the issue we have with deer, despite the misinformation that's being spread, deer can be seen as pests that cause irreversible damage to our remaining ecosystems here in Aotearoa. However, there is not yet the social license for deer to be included within the predator-free 2050 plan, which is looking at eradicating rats, mustelids, I believe is how you pronounce it, and yep, possum as well. So do we need to reframe the ecological damage deer are doing to taonga species, plants that are part of that as well?
I think we need to completely reframe it. We need to stop seeing deer as a resource, because people will always be selfish. When they're eradicated from an area, we know hunters will reintroduce deer back into previously eradicated areas. They've done that in Taranaki National Park. They will reintroduce new species of deer into areas where there's been only one. So we need to reframe the conversation of deer as a resource to deer as a pest, and the damage they are doing to taonga species in New Zealand, whether that's plants or whether that's eating the eggs of endangered seabirds down on Rakia or Stewart Island. So I think predator-free needs to go beyond the possums, the rats, the ferrets, the stoats, the weasels, the mustelids, and actually start including some of the other really big predators, not just of our treasured animals, but also of our treasured forests. Deer are a predator of the forest, but there isn't social license yet. That doesn't mean to say that there won't be social license in the future, and I think with the new generation coming through, is that we will get social license to either eradicate deer or severely control them. And one of the ideas that I've got is we should actually get rid of them from all but areas of least conservation concern. So restrict them to areas of like pine forest or low conservation value land where hunters may have to pay to go hunting, and you could actually put the revenue from that actually back into conservation, because we need to do something. The numbers are exploding. There was a documentary on the Sunday program a few weeks ago that the feral numbers of deer and Marlborough sounds are just exploding. When they kill all the trees, it's causing erosion, and the forests are basically going through ecosystem collapse, so we need to do something.
I'm reading here that hunters can also play a part in this, whether that's shooting deer and the revenue going back into conservation, yep, or leaving deer carcasses to rot in order to return the nutrients to the soil, although there are some arguments around the wasting of food.
Yes, so one of the arguments that hunters have is they don't want to kill animals or deer unless they use it for food. But as I was talking about before, is with deer stripping out all the nutrients out of the forest and the forest becoming not climate resilient, one of the best ways we can do is if you actually go in there and with eradication programs or hunting programs, is you kill the deer and you leave all the deer or the vast majority of the deer in the forest to rot and actually start returning some of the nutrients to the forest that the deer have actually stripped out. Hunters definitely have a role to play. There are areas in New Zealand that will be hard for Department of Conservation or predator-free New Zealand to get into. So we need hunters on board to actually start controlling deer and eradicating them from certain parts of the country. But we need to move beyond this deer resource to deer a pest that are actually doing a whole lot of damage to the ecosystem.
That was Joe speaking with Dr. Nick Rawlance from the Paleogenetics Lab in Otago about the role of deer in Aotearoa's ecosystems.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.